Hi, my name's Alex Donaldson, and I will be conducting this interview on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 23rd of August 2009. If you could please state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
Okay, my name's Ali Rice, and I'm from Warwickshire, and I'm 41.
And how are you today?
Fine, thank you.
So how did you initially hear about the project?
I think I received an email and it just looked quite cool, really. So I actually submitted details for me and for my husband, but I didn't tell him that I didn't. And then when it came through, at first of all, I wasn't sure whether it was me or him. And it turned out to be me. And he said he wouldn't have done it if it had come. So anyway, it's quite fortunate, really. So there you go.
What was it that actually inspired you to put yourself forward?
I think it was probably just kind of a unique experience and quite a good platform to kind of push the things that we do and the things that we want to do as well. So it's just kind of to raise our profile a little bit, really.
And how did you feel when you found out that you had a place?
I don't think I was that shocked. I just kind of took it and just naturally and just went with it, really. But I didn't actually see anything that was going on until last night, really. So prior to that, it was just kind of, maybe it didn't seem that real. So yeah, okay.
You just said something about what you and your husband do.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind talking a little bit about that?
We run a company called Rice Design, and we essentially facilitate projects with young people, and there's a broad range of them. So we do public art. We do a lot of curriculum-based projects so that they basically use the arts to engage them in kind of academic subjects. So it's just about engaging kids and also giving them access to the media. So instead of the media kind of doing to kids, they suddenly realise they can be part of it and make their own animations and short films. So it's more about kind of giving them the opportunity as opposed to anything else. And promoting, just so that they realise that they can take ownership of things and they can influence their environment, really, so that that what they think matters. That's kind of essentially what we do.
And what type of community children are you targeting?
We work in the Midlands, so a lot of them are kind of deprived areas, but there's just as much depravity in rural areas in a different way, so that they're kind of overlooked and the facilities aren't there. So I think sometimes the deprived areas aren't the ones that you think, and there's kind of, I was talking to somebody from Screen West Midlands the other day, and they were saying the most underrepresented kind of child or person in the UK was a young white middle class boy in a rural area, which is quite surprising, and literacy is one of the things that they're failing on. So when we do, we work a lot with creative partnerships, and most of the projects are about engaging kids in literacy. So the kind of animation projects or the comic strips or whatever we do involves script writing and kind of engaging in subjects, but used as in an arts vehicle, so that they don't even realising that they're kind of doing the curriculum based stuff. So that's quite interesting.
And the particular skills relationships you're building, is that relationships between themselves, or are you actually just trying to build skills?
I think it's both. It's actually sustainable skills. So everything we do, all of the animation is free and downloadable. So as long as they've got access to a PC or a laptop and a webcam, they can do it themselves at home. So we make sure that it's kind of accessible to everybody, and we do that deliberately so that there isn't huge amounts of expensive equipment that they need to do it. So that's our criteria, so it's accessible.
So how is the progress coming along?
So one of our films that we've actually completed is amazing, and it's called Flow, which stands for the love of the world, and it's actually a curriculum-based piece done by 5 and 6-year-olds, and it actually explores the creatures in the seas and oceans of the world, and it uses Google so that they get an idea of the geography as well as the kind of science behind the aerodynamics of fish, and you know, so it basically touches on science and geography, and does so much more as well. So, but it's one of those things that you really need to see it see how amazing it is, and that's done with kind of years one and two. So it's just amazing what even young children can do if they're given the opportunity. Excuse me.
So how long have you been involved in learning projects for?
I think I've always worked with children in education since I was studying myself. Since I was probably about 15 or 16, I was always involved with education. And I used to run arts programmes in the States as well.
How long did you do that for?
That I used to do it for 6 months, every 6 months for 10 years. And that was probably about 7 years ago.
What have you taken from these experiences?
I think that one of the things that I think is really important is that children that are surrounded by nature just develop a different ability to respond to things. And I think it's really important for children to be in natural surroundings when they can be. So I'm not really a city person at all. I much prefer rural areas. And one of the things that I love about the States is the natural landscape, because it's just stunning.
Can I ask a little bit about yourself?
Yeah.
What are your interests?
I think since we've had our two children, I think the children have just completely taken over everything. So I think that when we're not working, our kind of main priority is to make sure that they're happy and contented and engaged and just a kind of an awe of the world, really. So kind of our interests have kind of taken a little back step. But I think when you have kids, they're kind of, the perspective you get from them, you just get so much joy that it's really worth kind of... So I love arts and yoga and swimming and things like that, but I'm lucky if I go to yoga once a week, but as opposed to like 3 or 4 times prior to children. So, but it's just one of those things, really, and it's just a massive juggle. And my husband and I work together, so that we kind of see each other, but we're kind of working. And kind of quality time when we're together, we hardly ever get in, So I think the dynamics of things really change, but that's really interesting.
Yeah.
And good. Most of the time.
How is it working with your husband?
It's really interesting because we've both got different skills, because he's the kind of technical man and very good at, so he does a lot of green screen and animation and all the technical things, but we're both very good makers, and I also kind of secure projects and put applications together, and probably kind of have a lot more knowledge about the theoretical kind of thinking behind the projects, as opposed to so as if you look at it as a kind of as my weeks his strengths, and his strengths and my weaknesses, if you see what I mean. So kind of combined, we're quite a formidable team, really. Yeah. And he's got quite off the wall ideas, and I tend to probably be a bit more kind of conventional, really. So usually you get something quite awe-inspiring, but that's not too radical, really, when we work together. But it's just amazing to see what happens. And when he actually edits all the pieces that we I don't actually see the finished product until it's done. And it's just stunning. So flow that I saw when I saw it with all the children that had been involved, it almost reduced me to tears, because it was just so beautiful. And it was just purely how he kind of edited, and you know, as well as the children's work, it was just really sensitively put together. So it's interesting.
So what exactly are you planning on doing with your hour today?
I'm actually making a dream catcher, and I'm doing that for my little girl, who's 20 months, I think.
So is this something that you are quite used to making?
I did used to make them on a regular basis when I worked in the States, but I made a couple a few years ago, but I haven't made any recently. But I think it's more significant about kind of moving forward and achieving our goals, really, as well as the kind of dreams that it's a good thing for my daughter, but also kind of about achieving kind of our objectives too.
What do dream catchers mean to you? Have you made quite a few of them?
I think it's because my little boy was having bad dreams a few months ago, so I made him a dream catcher, and ever since he's hung it above his bed, all of the bad dreams have stopped. So they're kind of theoretical or psychology or whatever, it's kind of done the trick. But I just think I truly believe that if you kind of dream and want to do something, that if you keep persevering, you can achieve whatever you want to do. So and that's kind of the ethos that we probably use in our projects with kids as well. So, I just think it's about opportunity really, and some people's kind of aspirations are quite kind of shielded, and that I think children have got huge potential, but you just need to tap it. So it's kind of that ability to believe that you can do something makes a huge difference as to whether you do it or not. So part of our projects is really about raising people's self-esteem and making sure that they know that they can. And it's not just young people. We were working with single mums the other day, and there was an incredibly creative mum of four that just seems as if she's never been encouraged and never been given the opportunity to do anything, and she'd be key to doing other projects with us in the future if we kind of succeeded in kind of securing funding to do it. So that it's just kind of giving people opportunity to realise that there's other things that they could do.
So what are your hopes, fears, expectations for your hour?
For my hour? I don't think I do have any hopes or fears really. I think I'm naturally going to kind of go with it and see what happens. So I'm not really sure how I feel. But it's just, I just think it's going to be quite an unusual experience really. So, but I don't know any further than that really.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And are you doing it for anybody in particular?
This is for our little girl's called Alaska Snow, so that's for it's going to go in her bedroom.
And ultimately, what kind of experience are you trying to get out of today?
I think today I'm probably trying to kind of push an education and an environmental kind of message, and just try and. I just think that we need to kind of protect the natural areas that are still around and make sure that people can access them. And I also think that people that live in rural areas, people need to start accessing those instead of kind of taking them for granted, so that people need to start setting up experiences so children in rural areas start taking care of them instead of just defacing them, or because there's lots of problems in rural areas with kind of graffiti or just kind of more destructive things than that, and that there's ways to turn young people around if people kind of go down the right avenue. So I just think it's there's ways and means of actually getting them engaged so that they take ownership and actually take care of the environment. And it's, my theory is if everybody takes care of their kind of doorstep and the environment that they're in, then that would be quite a good start for the kind of entire world if everybody realised that was. So that's the theory. And one of the projects we want to do is kind of globalise our animation and flow so that people actually look at the wildlife that's on their doorstep. And I think young children as well think that their environment that they know is the same as every other child in the world. And there's a massive difference even in the UK with what people know and what they kind of expect. But just every child thinks that what they know is what every other child thinks or experiences, and that's not true. So I think it's just about kind of embracing what's there and making the best of it, as opposed to trying to constantly. And it's also quite anti-materialism as well. So people, I just think that the consumer society is so focused on money and buying things that it's an insatiable desire that's never going to be quenched, really. So people need to kind of try and kind of direct their kind of thoughts to kind of more substantial things that matter a little bit more. And it's hard because we've got a young boy that's just like any other kid that wants to have the next action figure and that, you know, and it's especially Jason's, just whenever he goes out he can't help but kind of says it's everybody's kind of caught up in this kind of hamster wheel of purchase and kind of, so it's just trying to kind of find an alternative way of doing things really that's a bit more environmentally kind of sustainable and not so, just that there's too much stuff that we don't need.
So as a family, how have you tried to counteract that consumerist way of life?
Well, we try and kind of keep things simple, and we also live in rural areas, and we kind of love old timber frame buildings as well. So most of the places we've lived have always been in kind of barn conversions and things like that. And we also have a cat and a dog. So kind of safety-wise, we've always lived in, we've lived on a farm at one point. But it's just about trying to keep away from roads and kind of bustling traffic and just keeping them safe, and so that the cat and the dog have got access to fields and walking. And so it's just kind of that access to kind of open areas really is really important to us.
You're wearing an incredible outfit. Could you talk me through a little bit?
It's not an outfit though. It's a real Native American dress that was made by Golden Bear. That's a Native American spirit guide, and he's got a trading post in Jackson, which is on the way to the Sierra Mountains in California. So it was made for our wedding, and we got married. I think it's 6 years ago, but it could be seven. I think it's six. On September the 6th. So it was made and blessed by him, so that we got married by a lake, by Lake Alpine, and that's near Bear Valley.
So the Native American kind of way of life is something you've been quite interested in for a while?
I think because I used to run arts programs in a wilderness area that had original Native American buildings. And there's always been something about how nature's kind of a manifestation of whatever the Great Spirit is, or God, or whatever you'd like to call them. And when I met Jason, he wasn't conventionally religious. And I'd always kind of dreamt of getting married in the landscape that I was used to working in the States. And I didn't think I'd necessarily meet somebody that would want the same thing, and I did. So we got married 6 years ago next to a lake, and that we know people that live in Bear Valley, so the community all rallied around to help us. And a really dear friend of mine has got a ranch as well, and she brought a horse to the lake, so I was led to the lake by my father. I was actually led down to the lake to be married. And then a really good friend of ours as well is a minister, and he also supported us when we were putting a portfolio together for Disney, and we spent 3 months in the States putting our portfolio together. And he and his family always supported us in the kind of goals that we had as well. So he married us. So everybody that was actually at the wedding was kind of really integrated into kind of our support network and our kind of extended family, really. So it was really special.
So do you still spend quite a lot of time in America?
Well, we haven't actually been there since we got married, because a year after we got married, we had our first baby, and the kind of just the priorities of having a kind of a house and the bills and just the schedule of work and everything means that we've not been able to go over. But we're hoping to go probably within the year. And my twin sister lives in Houston in Texas as well. So we've just got lots and lots of reasons to go back. And there's tons and tons of our friends that have had children since we were married. So there's lots of little playmates for our children to meet too. So hopefully it shouldn't be too long before we go back.
Are you an identical twin?
No, fraternal. And we're, I think there's a similarity because we've both got kind of long dark hair, and as I think a glimpse, some people say we look quite similar, but I'm quite a lot more dark skinned, and my sister's quite fair complexion, and we're so different in our kind of outlook and our kind of views of things that I thought we probably couldn't be more extreme, really, so that's quite interesting.
So what would you say is important in your life at the moment?
Children first and foremost, and then just making our business, because we've just established a community interest company as well, so a CIC, and we plan to try and have an eco build built within the heart of England, so that children can access the kind of rural heart of the Midlands, and so that we can run our arts programs instead of running arts programs for other bodies, as opposed to it's basically trying to do things in a similar way to the way that we do them, but on our own terms, instead of meeting other people's goals and objectives, really. But not that much different to the things that we do now, really. And we also want to kind of globalize our kind of animation project, so we want to try and run the same animation project in all the continents of the world, really, just so that there's a showcase, and there's also kind of web documentation of the animation that they do, and they're kind of so that you can just see the response from different kids in different areas of the world.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so.